Voy a hablar hasta... When I was a brahmachari and monk in the Krishna consciousness movement, learning about this, and you know, all of us youngsters who stumble into this very different world of Krishna consciousness and of the understanding of life and existence according to the Bhagavad Gita and the Srimad Bhagavatam and so on. Where our life became about simply serving Krishna, being, you know, God, being God conscious, depending on God, and so on. And then we used to often say things like that, you know, this is Krishna's arrangement, and Krishna inspired him or me, and Krishna said, look at Krishna, there he is, teasing us and playing with us, and oh, this typically Krishna. And to some extent, I would say, we kind of played in that. Game or drama, and we kind of tried to emulate devotees, trying to see things that way. But as time goes by, you start to realize that it actually is that way. That this is for real. That as you step into this bhakti world, which simply spoken is about remembering God all the time and the presence of God, who is always present, right? And start to act personally towards God, just as we do towards each other, we who are here in these physical material bodies right now, but who are persons, right? And as we do that, and this is the wonderful treasure of this bhakti, this Krishna consciousness, that you start to realize, I would say after years and years and years, for me it was like that and is like that, the immense beauty and value of, because what happens, and what we then were kind of acting in, because that's what Prabhupada kind of tried, I think, or I heard, that let them act as Vaishnavas, as devotees, as bhaktas. And then they will become it gradually by living in that role. So that role of being there with Krishna and Krishna starting to interfere with our lives personally. May have been something we then playfully kind of imagined or thought we imagined, but in hindsight I can say that we weren't imagining. Krishna was and is interfering with our lives, and I mean my own life is a proof of that. I mean, I can tell you the whole story for those who want to listen, and I've got friends who have similar stories. So here am I, age 70. And simply more and more, first of all, more and more dependent on Krishna, on God. Everything. And when you are and you take shelter of God, then God takes care of you and Krishna takes care, but also starts to playfully interfere with your life. And then I realize now that yes, that's what he did back then as well, and which we kind of saw, some of us more, some just kind of thought they were imagining maybe or playing devotees. But which I think, and I've been speaking to friends of mine from those days who were also in the Krishna consciousness movement, and they say the same thing, that yes, definitely Krishna was playing around with us then and helping us and using us and tricking us, sometimes teaching us things in mysterious, sometimes incredible, sometimes humoristic ways. And the thing is that as I'm standing at age 70, old, where you're supposed to kind of see the end of life approaching, it's all over, then my life starts. My life is more alive day by day. And I feel that presence of God in my life more and more day by day. And then I'm standing here now and then just going, wow, this is what this is about. And it's just going to continue like this, getting better and better and better. And all I have to do really is to be Krishna conscious. And bhakti is about that. All the activities you do are simply meant for that. And that's all Krishna cares about, that we start again to relate personally. Him to Radha Krishna, Gandharva, Giridhara, and so on, whatever relationship you have. That's what it's all about. And then we continue that and by the mercy of association with other devotees of God like that, by the guidance of other devotees, teachers, gurus, so on, and the knowledge coming down to us, we can steer clear of falling into the traps and of illusion and Maya's dreamy tricks, which is really about this temptation and desires. I want this, I want that. Yes. And we get caught up in some other dreamy thing and forget God, forget Krishna. So there are these, of course, highway robbers, as it's called, these challenges. Impersonalism and atheism and so on. But once we can get past them, then, well, here we are. And here you are, Krishna, God. And this is just going to get better and better. For how long? Forever. And I know, I mean, we can speak about such things as parts of some faith or philosophy, but when you realize that this is reality, then it gets quite mind-blowing, amazing. And I can understand why those devotees who are going further down this path, they dance and they laugh and they cry and their hair stand on end. Because it's just so blissful, and we use that word, bliss, Prabhu. It's bliss. And yeah, I mean, we try to get into that, right? We learn that this is how it's supposed to be. So yeah, bliss. But trust me that even if you just kind of try to get into that play in the beginning by just continuing and just doing this the right way, not falling into any of those traps and getting stuck there for a while, continuing and keep that focus there. It's, and Prabhupada says it very clearly, It's all about always remembering Krishna, never forgetting him. That principle includes all other principles. Keep that in mind. It's more important than what you do and what rituals you perform and how you look and what group you're in and so on. It's us and it's Krishna there, here, right in our heart. And the one who's taking shelter of Krishna is taken care of by Krishna, is protected by Krishna, will never be vanquished. And in fact, life is already eternal. There is no death. It's just a transformation. So thanks for me for tonight, Hare Krishna.